Take your Bibles and turn to Joshua chapter 24. Joshua 24, while you're turning, just a couple of quick commercials. You are aware that the Great Lakes Music Festival is on campus this weekend. Right now, about 135 high school young people registered for that. And then next weekend is the high school basketball tournament, and again, about 130 so high school young people will be on campus participating in that tournament. These are excellent opportunities for these students to check out Maranatha Baptist University. Campus visit is probably the most important influencer in a college, in a student's decision as to what college they're going to go to. In fact, as freshmen, when you completed the new student survey this last September, we asked that question. 84% of you said that you had visited campus before making your college choice. About one-third of you had attended Great Lakes, and about one-third of you had attended one of the tournaments, either in the fall or the winter. It's really a vital time for them to get on campus, check out the student body, check out the faculty, eat in the dining room, check out the dorms, all that type of thing. And so I trust that you go out of your way to make Maranatha a welcoming place for them. Because not long ago, many of you were in their position. You were visiting campus and checking us out. My own son-in-law, when he was a senior in high school, had already made a decision to go to another university down south. That's where he was headed. But his high school, Christian high school team, was playing in a basketball tournament here. He came for that tournament. And after the tournament, he said, you know what, I never really gave Maranatha much thought relative should I go there. And so he did some more additional research and prayer and actually decided at that point to change his mind and came as a freshman to Maranatha. He was there, they met my daughter, and the rest is history there. But that has been repeated numerous times. And so, again, just take it upon yourself to go out of your way during that time. And I know that it puts a burden on the rooms, on the dining hall with additional people on campus. But you can have an influence in somebody's life that could last for many years to come. One other thing. Super Bowl Sunday is the end of what we call our application fee waiver campaign. And again, many of you took advantage of that when you were applying to the university. Save $50 by applying by the end of Super Bowl Sunday. And so maybe you have a sibling or a good friend that you've been communicating with. Just send them a quick text, remind them of that date, encourage them to get their application in, and we'll get rolling. That's the end of the commercials. I do appreciate the support we have of our students here, especially on the campus visits. Joshua 24, verses 14 and 15 is really just a takeoff point here. Joshua had called the leaders of the 12 tribes of Israel together, and here their purpose is to renew the covenant with them. And he makes this proclamation to them. He says, "Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell." This next statement is what's key here. "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Joshua is standing up in front of all of the leaders of the land and is setting down his stake. "Choose you this day who you will serve, but as for me, in my house, here's what we're going to do. We're going to serve the Lord." Now, one of my roles here is the chair of the admissions committee. And so any file that is complete, admissions file is complete with the references and academic information, transcripts, ACT scores, that type of thing, will come to my desk prior to going to committee. And one day I had a young man that had applied. He was visiting campus, wanted to sit down with me. And I was like, as I was going over his application, there's this little question on the app that says something like this. Have you ever been dismissed, suspended, or expelled from another school or college? And he had marked yes. So I said, well, tell me about that. What happened? Now, he was had a great salvation testimony, good character references, a well-known church, graduated from the Christian school. But he was at a sister institution, and he had heard that there were several guys from that institution, a good college, that were going to go home to his home state and would actually be going near where his home was. Although he was not particularly best of friends with these guys, he knew them. And so he checked with one to see if there was room in the car that he might hitch a ride with them and they could drop him off. He could spend a day or two at home and then they'd go back. That was fine. And so they loaded up the car, left campus. Well, about 2 or 3 hours down the road, the driver of the car pulled the car into a convenience store. Went in, bought a bottle of Coke and a bottle of rum. As they were back on the highway driving down, one of the guys mixed up, did a mixture of Coke and rum in the car and then began to hand it around to each of the guys in the car. Everyone drank it. Came to him. He had a question. What do I do? He said, I had never touched a drop of alcohol in my entire life. He said, but I just didn't want to say no. I just didn't want to go against the group. And so he did take a drink. Well, the institution found out about it, and all of the young men involved in that incident were dismissed from that college. Now he's trying to get in to Maranatha. And, you know, God does forgive and God is gracious. And that young man now is living for the Lord and a wonderful family. But as we look at that particular situation, the impact that peer pressure had on him at that moment was enormous. And he made the wrong choice. And that choice had dramatic consequences. I think you've probably heard of the research study that doctors did on relative to peer pressure, where they brought 10 teens into a classroom and told them that they were studying visual perception at various vantage points of the room, and explained that they were going to hold up a card with three lines on them, A, B, and C, at varying lengths, one very long, one very short, one middle range. And they said, all you got to do is when we point to the longest line, raise your hand indicating that that's the longest line. Well, of course, 9 of the 10 were in on the study with the researchers. They were told not to vote for the longest line. They were told to vote for the second longest line. They wanted to see the impact peer pressure would have. So as they held the first set of teenagers in there, held up the card, pointed to the second longest line, immediately, 9 hands went in the air. The 9 teenagers that were in on the study with the researchers told not to vote for the longest line because they wanted to see what impact that would have on the one teen that wasn't in on the study, wasn't in on the agreement. And they said that over 75% of the time, the student that was being studied would look around the room in disbelief at all the hands that were in the air and then would raise their hand. Voting for a line they knew was not the longest. The impact, the dramatic impact that peer pressure has on all of our lives. Well, what is peer pressure? Peer pressure, of course, comes from 2 words, peer, and that is one of equal standing. And then the word pressure, and that is the application of force. And so it is the application of force that we receive from those of equal standing, those around us. Peer pressure has an enormous impact on your decisions. It It's the pressure that we receive from friends and those around us to follow their standards of conduct, way of thinking and values in their life. It's an unwritten group law that sometimes dictates the lifestyle of a person, good or bad. You know, peer pressure can be positive, can be neutral. What do we mean by neutral? Well, there's a lot of things that influence us that are not necessarily good or evil. It's just neutral. Go back to pictures 25 years ago and look at what people wore in those days. You know, their hairstyles, the type of glasses that they wore, the type of clothes. Well, that's all influenced by society and by their peers. You look at it and say, that's strange, the way my parents, you know, dressed back when they were in college. Yeah, wait 25 years down the road when your kids are looking at your pictures and they'll do the same thing. And you say, what is there to, you know, laugh at? You know, we dress normal. Well, 25 years from now, you may not look so normal. Things change, but it's neutral. It's not necessarily good, not necessarily bad. And but there is negative peer pressure. It's the kind of peer pressure that influences us to go against the Word of God, the core values of life, the character of our soul. And sometimes we have a trouble standing against that. And Christian young people are not immune from the negative peer pressure. Certainly college students are influenced in the greater society. The National Institute on Alcohol Abuse say that 80% of college students drink alcohol. 44% are binge drinkers. And their conclusion there is that college is clearly a catalyst for alcohol use. It's the concept that when you get on a lot of secular college campuses, everybody's doing it, and so everybody does it. In the Journal of Substance Abuse, an article titled Peer Influences on College Drinking, their summary in that article was, peer pressure is consistently implicated in excessive drinking of college students. According to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the CDC, 77% of college students today are sexually active. And again, it's the perception, they say, that everyone is doing it, and it is a real pressure that influences and impacts behavior. According to the Addiction Centers, college students make up one of the largest groups of drug abusers nationwide. Why? They say young people ages 18 to 24 are already at heightened risk for addiction, but those who are enrolled in a full-time college program are twice as likely to abuse drugs and alcohol than those who don't attend college. And much of that is the impact of peer pressure. Now, I'm not naive to think that on this college campus we don't have an issue with alcohol use. Nor am I so naive to think that we never deal with drugs or sexual activity. A lot of it would be impacted by peer pressure. Students who arrive here saying that they want to study for God's glory, but are impacted by somebody who wants to drag them down. Now, it may not be alcohol, it may not be drugs, it may not be sexual activity, but sometimes it's other activity that it goes against the student handbook. And again, it is peer pressure that influences those decisions. Remember what Joshua said? Choose you this day whom you will serve, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He's staking his claim. And that's what we need. Now, when we think about the basic causes of peer pressure control, I did a survey amongst freshmen that were here at Maranatha a few years back. I wanted to explore why is it that they gave in to negative peer pressure. What did they think? Now, these were freshmen who were just out of high school. Okay, so what, out of high school, 3 or 4 months? They were young. Why did you give in to negative peer pressure? So in this survey, we allowed them to just give open-ended answers to their questions. And then we grouped them together, like answers together. And we came down with several key findings in this particular survey. We're going to look at five. Five reasons why our freshmen said that they gave in to negative peer pressure. The number one reason that they said they gave in to negative peer pressure, by and large, number one, was this: insecurity. Seeking the acceptance and approval from others. The reality is that if our security is gained from the group, then we will bend to please the group. So they recognize that a lot of the times it's insecurity. Why is it that the young man traveling down the road was handed an alcoholic beverage and having never tasted alcohol in his life, knowing it was wrong, succumbed to the pressure? Well, obviously insecurity. The second reason that our freshmen said that they gave in to negative peer pressure control is wrong friends. Those who do not value God's word, and we do have a tendency to take on the characteristics of our friends, sometimes good, sometimes bad. And so we hang around with the wrong crowd, and that will negatively influence us. And I'm not so naive to think that on this college campus, again, there aren't individuals who can be the wrong type of friend for you. And so, wrong friends. The number three reason that our freshmen gave was a surprise to me. In fact, we talked to a number of these freshmen to try to get an idea as to what they were thinking. Here was the number three reason. They said, poor relationship with parents. A poor relationship with parents. Now, here's the idea. When we're resisting the authority of our parents, we're actually resisting the authority of God, the ultimate authority in our life. So when students had a poor relationship with mom and dad, it made it much easier for them to give in to negative peer pressure. The fourth reason that our students said that they gave in to negative peer pressure was pride. Pride. It's when we come to the place where we say, I'm not going to let anybody tell me what to do. I'm going to live my own life. That is simply pride. The root meaning of pride is out of place. Not submitting to the authority that God has placed you into, but rebelling against that authority. I'm not going to let anybody tell me what to do, but all they do is they move from one authority to another authority group or authority structure, and then are dictated by that authority structure as to how they're to live and how they're to act and what kind of attitude they have and what they're to do and what they're not to do. So is pride. And then the final one was a failure to see consequences. A failure to see consequences. Sometimes what happens is that we give in to negative peer pressure because of the moment, and we don't stop to think, what impact will this have for my future life? Certainly, the young man that we talked about earlier, who in the car took a drink of an alcoholic beverage, if he had stopped to think through the consequences of that action and the impact it would have, certainly that would have given him more determination not to violate the Word of God in that area. Well, think about it. This was about November of the fall semester. He was now dismissed. All the work up to that point is down the drain, nothing to show for it. All the money that he paid for tuition and room and board, whatever was due, was gone. And now he wants to progress in his educational pursuits, and yet he's behind the eight ball. And he has to explain to everybody back home what happened. And, you know, that's something that he'll carry through for several years. And if he'd have stopped to think about it, the consequences of that, that would have given him more courage to take a stand. And here it is. Our freshman said it was insecurity, wrong friends, poor relationship with parents, pride, and a failure to see consequences. So what are some steps that we can do to overcome negative peer pressure? Now I'm focusing on those who have a desire to serve the Lord and want to do what's right. If you have a bent for evil, then this probably won't have any impact in your life. But if your desire is to please the Lord, but you're impacted by peers, these are some steps that may help you to overcome negative peer pressure. Step number one, and that is, focus on your personal relationship with God. Focus on your personal relationship with God. You know, if our security is from God, then we will be God conscious. If our security is from the group, then we will be group conscious. And so as we focus on our relationship with God and we begin to think in those situations, not what will the group think, what will my friends think, but what will God think, that will help us and that will give us the determination to do what's right. You think through Scripture, we have all kinds of examples of both negative peer pressure, positive peer pressure. On the negative side, we have Aaron in Exodus chapter 32, you know, the people gathered around themselves together against Aaron and said, make us a god. And so what does Aaron do? He follows the pressure of the group and he makes us a golden calf. Did Aaron know that was wrong? Yes, Aaron knew that was wrong, but he succumbed to the pressure. He wasn't thinking about what is God going to think about this. He was thinking about the people. We see Saul, who in 1 Samuel 15 spared the sheep, and he said, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Wasn't focused on what God thought. He was focused on what the people thought. And you could go on and on through Scripture, see all kinds of negative examples of individuals who were crowd conscious because their relationship with God was weak. But there are positive examples, and I'm sure you could think of them. Probably the most well-known is Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, who there on the plain of Dura, we have recorded only three that stood against the king's decree. Why? Because they were more concerned about what God thought than what the crowd thought. More concerned with what God thought than potential consequences. Certainly Daniel or Peter after the crucifixion. He denied the Lord before the crucifixion because of negative peer pressure. But now he stood firm for God after the resurrection. In fact, history tells us, tradition tells us that he was crucified. And so if when you get into a situation, if you're thinking about what are my friends going to think of me, you'll probably give in to negative peer pressure. But if you have a vibrant relationship with God where your first thought is, what will God think? It's going to help you stand against negative peer pressure. And so focus on your personal relationship with God. That certainly combats insecurity. Number two, step number two in overcoming negative peer pressure is choose the right friends. Choose the right friends. Proverbs 27:17, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. Proverbs 13:20, he that walketh with a wise man shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. If you have a friend, even here at Maranatha, who is making it difficult for you to make right choices, making it difficult for you to do what is right, then there is a relationship that you may need to back off of. Doesn't mean that you have to be mean and nasty, but you just have to make sure that you have in your life those that are making it easier for you to do right and to obey God and live for the Lord rather than those that are making it difficult. You know, we talked about that research study of the 10 teens in the classroom, 9 in on the study with the researchers, 1 teen being studied, and over a series of these, they found that 75% of the time, the teen that was being studied would raise his or her hand, voting for a line they knew was not the longest, simply because of peer pressure. Having established that trend line, though, they made an adjustment to the experiment. Rather than having 9 raise their hand, voting for a wrong line, they changed it to having 8 raise their hand and identified one other teen that was in on the study with the researcher not to vote for the wrong line. And so as they brought the teen in, held up the card, pointed to the second longest line, immediately 8 hands went into the air. They said the teen that was being studied would look around the room in disbelief, stare at that card and then would fixate on the one other teen who refused to raise their hand, and that gave them the courage to vote their conscience. The number of students that voted wrong went from 75% of the time down to almost zero. The fact is, your friends are so important. Step number three, and that is this. Develop, maintain a quality relationship with your parents. You know, Ephesians 6, 1 through 3 says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother," which is the first commandment with promise, "that it may be well with thee and that thou mayest live long on the earth." The relationship between you and parents is so vital. You know, I look back at my high school years, and I did not get involved in a lot of wicked things during my high school years. And even though during those years, underage drinking was rampant and drug abuse was pretty wild, and I never did get involved in all that stuff. Now, I'll be honest with you, it wasn't because I had this strong relationship with God where all the time I was thinking, you know, what will God think if I did that? You know what I was thinking? What will my dad do if I did that? It was a strong relationship that I had with my parents. I did not want to disappoint them, and it is important in this particular area. As you have a strong relationship with your parents, and you think, I don't want to disappoint anyone who has invested so much time and energy of their life into my life. You know, parents send students here all the time with high hopes that God will continue to transform students into the image of God and see them mature. And then they do something stupid, sometimes because of peer pressure, and they have to pay the consequences, and it breaks the heart of the parents. If you could focus on that relationship and making sure you don't disappoint your parents, you know what is going to give you some determination when you come under that pressure to do what's right. Michael Resnick is a sociologist and pediatrics professor at the University of Minnesota, their medical school there. University of Minnesota is not a Christian college and is not a fundamentalist school. But anyway, he studied 90,000 teenagers and the impact of peer pressure. And he reported out a number of what he called protective factors that will help teens resist negative peer pressure. Here are the top three in that particular study. The top three protective factors were young people who were close to the family, young people, number two, who felt cared for by the family, and number three, young people who were satisfied with the relationship within the family. Those were the top three protective factors to keep them from giving in to negative peer pressure. And so it is incumbent upon you to focus on your relationship with mom and dad. Communicate with them. Tell them I love you. And communicate often. And it's important that as a young person, you maintain a quality relationship with parents. Number four. Set up accountability. Set up accountability. You take any type of self-help program that is out there today, and accountability is key. As you're accountable to somebody, maybe it is a godly mentor, maybe it is a friend or a faculty member or somebody in dorm leadership or whatever, that you can go along beside and say, I need some accountability with you and help me to be accountable. You know, Hebrews chapter 10, it talks about not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another and so much more as you see the day approaching. That is good, solid accountability. And then the final step here I have two more. Number five, determine your course of action beforehand. Determine your course of action beforehand. You see, remember Daniel 1, when Daniel was carried away into captivity by the Babylonians, and there he is confronted in a secular society. And it says in here that Daniel purposed in his heart not to defile himself. And the tense of that word suggests that it was a decision that he made prior to the situation in Daniel chapter 1. He determined the course of action before the pressure situation. And it's a mental exercise, but I would encourage you to do so. What would you do if while going home with a group of friends, somebody brings out an alcoholic beverage and starts passing it around the car? Think about it. What would you do? Well, if you wait to that moment, then it's probably too late. But as you think about it and you think through strategies in your own mind, what if a dorm roommate says, hey, let's sneak off campus and do X, you know, off campus that goes against the word of God and it goes against the student handbook or whatever. What are you going to say? Think about it. If you're at a friend's house and an inappropriate DVD or a streaming movie is coming on and you know it's wrong, what would you do? These are things that you need to think about. Determine your course of action before the pressure situation. And then the final step is this. Be a leader. Determine in your own mind that you're going to set the course. That you're not going to be yanked around by those who have bad attitudes, those who don't have a heart for God, those who want to break the rules, those who want to go in the wrong direction. No, as for you and your house, you are going to serve the Lord. That's being a leader. Rather than being yanked around by others, you're going to set the pace. You're going to set the pace for positive peer pressure. So that your actions have a positive influence on others rather than allowing others have a negative influence on you. And what we need today are more individuals who are determined, like Joshua, to be the kind of leader God wants them to be and set the pace and not allow negative peer pressure to yank them around. I trust that the Lord will challenge you with this. You'll be faced with this in the coming months. Here on this campus, I'm sure, at home in the summertime, in your ministries or in your work vocation, as you leave the halls of this school. But as a leader, you'll say, I'm not going to allow negative peer pressure to influence me to do that which I know is wrong, that which goes against God's word. But I am going to set the pace. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for the testimony of Joshua. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And so many others who were God conscious and not crowd conscious. May we have young people here that be determined to set the pace as leaders and not influenced by negative peer pressure. And we'll give you the praise in Christ's name. Amen.